My name is Susan Jacob, and I was born in Stockton, California. One of seven girls and two boys in the family. I'm third from the youngest. I was born post-World War II. Never asked a lady her age, but I'm a post-World War II baby. Anyway, so I guess the main reason why I'm here is to talk with everyone and share a little bit about my life and those aha moments and some of those awakenings. And mine started at a very, very, very young age. So I guess I'll just start there. I experienced unusual events in my life starting at birth. And when I say starting at birth, I actually have memory of seeing my parents driving in the car on the way to the hospital for my mother to give birth to me. It was as though I was sitting right there looking through the front windshield. I could see my father, see my mother. And I actually recall hearing my father say in an excited voice, if this is a Valentine's baby, we're going to make heart-shaped birthday cakes. He was very excited. And I looked over at my mother, and I could see that she was worried. She was fatigued. And I sensed that it was having so many children, but then again, she was in labor. Life was hectic in a family with seven girls and two boys, tense, but next door, I happened to live to the minister and his wife. And at a very, very young age, they invited me to Sunday school. I rejoiced in attending Sunday school and loved stories from the Bible. I absolutely love storytelling, and I've somewhat been that way all my life. I love listening to others speak, and maybe that's one of the reasons why I love the teaching so much. My parents weren't too involved with the spiritual upbringing, but I remember walking to church at a very young age, unaccompanied. I can recall feeling quite confident in my independence at such a young age of 3 to 4. Life in the 50s was a great time to be born in America, and I feel that I came at that special time because it was post-World War II, and I wasn't meant to be involved in anything along that line. I think I had seen enough previously. Anyway, I'm going to kind of jump ahead to age 6. At age 6, I was hospitalized with some abdominal pain. It was unknown at the time, which later was found to be a sliding hiatal hernia as an adult. But what was momentous about this hospitalization was hearing the word reincarnation. I was at such a young age, I instantly knew what the word was. I intuited it, and I had never heard it previously. So it was, again, another one of those moments where I got that, I understand that, I accept that, and which surprised me at such a young age. But also significantly during that stay at that hospital was I knew that I was going to be a registered nurse someday and care for others. So it was like two aha moments during that hospitalization. Both reincarnation and my future sacred labor came from a higher source. It was recognition of my soul's path. My teen years were troubling growing up in the late 60s, early 70s. There was a lot going on in America at the time. There was the Vietnam War, and society was changing a lot. And somehow that childlike wonder had gone. It had disappeared, you know, some of what I had had, you know, when I was at such a young age previously. At age 17, I had a premonition that I would someday live in Montana. But before that happened, some real soul searching occurred, and I had some tumultuous times in my life. But I thought for sure at the time when I was 17 that, what a crazy thought. Montana? Anyway, I left high school 1 year early. I got my GED, and I was on track starting college. I went to school for respiratory therapy sometime later, and I worked at that for 13 years while living in San Francisco. And I continued to go to school, working as well as I was working at the time, and I experienced another unusual occurrence. This one was the one that really set me on the path to the teachings of the Ascended Masters. While traveling in a car with my boyfriend at the time, I suddenly yelled at him. It was like a bolt of lightning hit me, and I turned and I yelled at him to stop the car. I want to go into that bookstore. He was startled, so was I, but I just followed through on whatever that moment was. I hopped out of the car, walked straight to the back left side of the store, and walked out with Climb the Highest Mountain. At that time, I found the San Francisco Summit Lighthouse Study Group and found the teachings, or shall I say, the teachings found me. The teachings changed my life and set me on a whole new path. I left a long-term relationship that was incompatible with this newfound path. And shortly after that, I met many friends in the San Francisco Study Group. I attended my first conference in Malibu, California. And beyond that, I continued to go to school, and then I graduated from nursing in 1987 as a registered nurse. But prior to graduation, I had attended several conferences in Montana and later moved there and attended Summit University. Pardon me, I'm just trying to catch my thoughts here. I went to Maitreya's Quarter in 1989, but prior to going to Maitreya's Quarter, when I was attending school, I kept asking the question, should I attend Summit University? Should I attend? And I asked the same question over and over for a number of months. And all of a sudden, one morning in my waking consciousness, I actually saw myself standing in my kitchen with Elizabeth Clare Prophet. She had her hands on both of my shoulders, and she said, say yes, yes, yes. And I knew that that was the signal for me to actually move to Montana. Anyway, I stayed in Montana for a while. I purchased a home and worked at the local hospital as well as two other facilities. And then later, I decided to take an assignment with a registry in California. I sat in my living room in Livingston, and I looked at the San Francisco Bay Area map, trying to decide where to reside. Also, I meditated on the map. I heard and looked at Napa, California. My finger went directly to it, pointing on the map. But then my logical mind took over, and I decided on another location close to many freeways. Lo and behold, I ended up with an assignment in Napa, California, and when I pulled up to the hospital, there was a gold 30-foot statue of Mother Mary, which I understood at that moment that I had made the wrong choice about where I was to live. And so I ended up moving to Napa, California 2 or 3 months later. I took an assignment for 1 year, and I stayed for 20 years. It was great. It was a great boon and blessing to my life. So, how did I find the Heart Center? Well, I kind of went through a phase when Mother was no longer available and to speak publicly and to handle services. I was really searching, and I had been doing a number of rosaries. And one day, I just finally said, I think I'm going to join a local church. I was searching and hunting, and I had been doing a rosary every day for quite a number of months. And I put the question out there in the ether, and I just said, I think I'm going to join this specific church. All of a sudden, in my third eye, I actually saw this horse rear up in front of me, and the command to me was, whoa, whoa. And in my third eye, I could actually see Saint Germain. So I knew that that wasn't the right choice for me. And then with intention, I searched on the internet, and that's when I found the Heart Center. And I discovered that it was David Lewis who had started this. And I had met David a number of times previously, you know, through Church Universal and Triumphant, and also from traveling through Livingston. And he had consoled and comforted me one time previously when I passed through there, when my father was very ill, and I had never forgotten his kindness to me at that time. So when a conference came up in Southern California in Burbank, I jumped on it. I felt a good deal of harmony with the group, and I also felt very welcomed. All my life, I have felt, sensed, and intuited things that other people found hard to believe. Now the term used is woo-woo, but it's kind of the term for disbelief. I believe that the teachings gave me fortitude and a foundation that drove me with a sense of purpose. If I get out of alignment, I like to silently repeat the mantra, I am loving kindness. And when I do that mantra, and it seems to really ground me, and I also do that when I'm preparing for company coming or if I have some mixed feelings about something or maybe just don't feel motivated, then I find a mantra, and whether it's said out loud or silently, it seems to ground me really well. It inspires me to fan my heart flame and go about my day, projecting that love to all and whom I encounter in my day. Perfect strangers will stop and talk with me. It is a gift to all, but much of the time I sense that it is God reciprocating his loving kindness more than tenfold to me. This would be a good opportunity for you to cue in, Kathleen.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Susan. Yes, wonderful to hear your story. I had not realized how much had been going on in your internal life and how very special. Could you tell me, do you happen to have a special relationship with Mother Mary since it was her 30-foot gold statue that clued you in to live in Napa?
I do. I had been doing Mother Mary's Rosary on the CD, and I had it in my car, whether I was traveling, completed part of it or all of it, and on a daily basis, on and off for a long time, I would say, mostly on more than off. And I just really felt that special relationship, and it didn't matter who was doing the rosary, if it was on television, if it was with, you know, the previous organization. I just would capture that moment, and there were times that I really needed it, and I think that that rosary really helped to anchor me at times when I was having difficulty, whether it was health issues or family issues, and it really seems to have pulled me through.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. And Susan, do you have any advice you would like to give to our beloved heart friends listening to you and or especially those who are particularly in the healing arts?
Well, I would say never give up no matter how many times you fall down. And I would share another aha moment with everyone. It was a little bit of something that I received on the inner level. And I won't say, well, maybe I could say what master it came from, but I'll just say for now. I received a message on the inner recently, and I know some of these things we're supposed to keep to ourselves, and I've thought about this for the last few days, whether I should share this or not. And since you asked the question, I feel that my response is appropriate to your question. So I'm standing in front of this master, and one of the things that he said to me was, I really appreciate the way you do not give up. No matter what you've said, no matter what you've done, you always come back to the teachings and you always keep on keeping on. And I think that last little bit will tell you who the master was, to keep on keeping on. And I think that has been really key for me, no matter how I feel, no matter what my thoughts are, whether it's physical issues, whether it's emotional issues. And at the time that I heard this, I thought for just a quick moment that flattery, and I realized, no, this is totally inappropriate. This is not flattery. And I felt an admonishing gentleness of the presence of somebody else telling me, this is not meant to flatter you. It is words of encouragement and to help you to move along in the process with what's going on with you right now. And that's what I would say about that. And as far as the healing art aspect of it, I haven't given too much thought about that, but just for myself on a personal level, I also really love Kuan Yin's rosary. And I probably have done Mother Mary's and Kuan Yin's rosary more than any of the other rosaries that I've done. And I think those two have really carried me. And in the healing arts, I believe that, you know, working as a registered nurse, that, you know, prayers are really important. They're important for your patients. They were important for me to do the best job that I could do and to look more at a person rather than just their physical needs, also attend to their emotional as well as spiritual needs within the given circumstance that I was in at the time, you know, and how receptive the person was.
Well, thank you, Susan. That's wonderful advice for all of us, knowing that prayer is so important. And thank you for sharing your favorite prayers, Mother Mary's Rosary and Kuan Yin's Rosary. And I'm so happy to hear, keep on keeping on. And thank you. Thank you so much for being with us, Susan.
Thank you, and it's been my pleasure.
Thank you, Susan. Bye-bye for now.